Let the record reflect that all five board members are present, so we do have a quorum. Council, is there a report from closed session?
No, President Sanders. There are no reports from the last closed session.
Thank you. We're now at the first public comment period for this meeting. I don't have any requests to speak for the public comment period. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to address the board on a matter that is not on the board's agenda? Apparently not, so we'll move on to agenda review. I believe Director McKinnon wants to pull consent calendars item 7A, and I will pull consent calendar items 7G and 7H. Director Clift.
Pulling it or not, but I would like to have F considered separately because I'll abstain on that particular item.
Okay, I think we can keep it on the consent calendar and not pull it, and we'll note the abstention when we get to the vote. Okay. Any other additions, deletions, or corrections to the agenda? Okay, the agenda will stand then as published, and we will pull 7A, 7G, and 7H for separate consideration. I do believe we have a representative from the Sheriff's Department here today. Terrific.
Thank you very much. My name is Ben Hall. I'm commander of the Sheriff's Coastal Patrol Division. We handle the Sheriff's Patrol from Avila Beach up to the Monterey County line, including Cambria. In Cambria, for the last 30 days, we handled 231 calls for service and took 38 reports, almost exactly the level of service that was last year at this time during the same 30-day period. We had our domestics, a few drunken publics, a few drug-type of incidents. We had a few cases where we assisted the contracting license board on a sting operation here in Cambria, and a couple of serious assaults. One was between a couple acquaintances, and one that result of a fight in Corsair, and then when the price came down, HBO boxes, all things from the past, but today is the flat screen TVs. And the reason those things are is simply is it's a newer item, and it's an item that has a pretty good value to it, and it's easy for a thief to get rid of and sell to someone else. So that's what's going on out there. On the positive side, we didn't have any of our usual fraud type cases this month. I don't think I've had any on the Central Coast this month that was reported to us, so that's a positive thing. Any questions?
Any questions of the sheriff's representative?
No. That's...
Apparently not. Thanks for doing a good job.
No, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. We'll now move on to managers and board reports, and we'll begin with the general manager's report.
Okay, thank you. I just have in the written reports for in the managers the reminder next month that our board meeting is a week earlier as a result of accommodating Pine Dorado, so Thursday, August 20th at 12:30 instead of the fourth Thursday. As a result of the budget approval last month, I have talked with representatives from the San Luis Obispo Regional Transit Authority with regard to the trolley and the fact that we want to get out of that business effective September 30th, and I've also had a communication with the Cambria Chamber of Commerce as well, and I understand that there's been some discussion at the North Coast Advisory Council level. So just so you know, I'm following up that we are in the terms of transitioning the trolley. The rebate program, I had made a commitment as a result of the budget approval that we would come back with a modified program. This is administered within the CCSD based on whatever the budgetary amount has been. And in past years, there was a budget amount that was usually just from the previous year. So knowing that it's limited this year to the $2,000, staff came up with this limited program which regards toilets only. I did have, in the past it was for clothes washers and water softeners, so now we're requesting or we're putting in place with regard to the $2,000 that it just be for these two toilet rebates. I'm sorry.
I was just wondering whether we could include the waterless urinal in there because It would help some of the businesses in town.
Well, it's just, it's $2,000, and so it's like 30 toilets maybe that can be rebated. So it's a balancing act, and that's, so this is open for discussion, obviously, because I'm bringing it to you and the public, but we said that these were the ones that have the highest number of rebates, these two toilets, and not the clothes washers, they're the other half of, you know, rebates, but the biggest bang for the buck is here because these are fixtures. Typically, these stay in Cambria, where clothes washers have, and you know, the possibility of moving to another place after they've gotten a rebate if the folks move on. So we're recommending in our policy that the replacement of a 3 GPF toilet, GPF standing for gallons per flush, with a 1.28 GPF or lower, which is the standard today, that there be a $75 rebate, and a replacement of a 1.6 GPF toilet with 1.28 or lower is a $50, and that we continue the hot water recirc pump program where we deliver free pumps, or don't deliver, but we give out free pumps. So let us see how it goes, and then maybe at the mid-year adjustment budget review, if we see that projections are higher or lower based on, that we would actually close the program once these $2,000 are exhausted for these toilet rebates. Our loss or water leaks, we don't like to use the word leaks because it insinuates that you have one, even though you might not. There just might be some other issue going on your property. We as staff do pursue this. It might have gotten out, or one person may have made a comment that we don't follow up on those. We have. We've had to reduce our amount of contact as a result of extra duties, and we're doing the very best that we can every billing period to monitor based on the discrepancy reports that our systems provide for us, and we are actually calling folks and letting them know when there's any blip in their level of consumption above a certain level, and or that little indicator meter or indicator hand on the meter has been running nonstop for 24 hours or more. And then with regard to Prop A, your staff is working are continuing to monitor the Proposition 1A process with regard to the state budgeting process, and keeping up and keeping in mind that we will be happy to work and are planning on contingency planning for any potential hit that may come down with the through the Cambria CSD. There's obviously still no budget as of now, or at least before I left the office. And today I know that they're in discussions, the legislature's in discussion about it. There are differences of how the numbers might get applied depending on how it comes out as a result of the passing of the budget. So we will keep you informed, and I'm trying to forward along as much information as possible that we might get so that you're kept in the loop as well. But staff is aware we did provide you all, or we provided the executive committee with a Proposition 1A summary, which I understand President Sanders passed along to the rest of you, that gives the key points. And we're happy to answer information as it comes, if you have questions or as it comes along with regard to Prop 1A. Moving on to Bob Gresson's district engineer report, he gives the status report on the DSAL project with regard to continuing to work closely with the Army Corps of Engineer and the federal advocate, Greg Burns, with Vanscoyuc with regard to the PCA amendment. I know that as of an email yesterday or day before, there's coordination now going between the LA District Office and Washington, D.C. to get that thing over to D.C. so that it can go through its processing and signature handling in Washington, D.C. The Rodeo Grounds Pump Station replacement in Stewart Street is on hold until we have direction with regard to funding. So unless there's different direction from the board, we have our consultants on hold right now with the work that they're doing until we know that there's either a budgeted CIP project or direction from this board to continue with regard to using water availability charges. The SCADA project, now that Brian's out of the picture, BG has assumed this project, so he's working on getting together a summary so that we know where we are, what we've done, and can provide a summary to the board and the community. Bob Gressens is the appointed staff liaison to the Water Emergency Alternative Advisory Committee, so he is there at those meetings as a resource. And then Bob now has assumed duties with Mike and Jim with regard to these county projects, the storm drain project, coordinating that, and any inspections that might be necessary if Mike and Jim aren't around, and the Moonstone Beach utility relocation as it comes to an end, I understand, and will be open pretty soon. Mark's fire chief's report, he has the statistics as he normally does, and he does note that on July 1st, unfortunately, our North Coast Ocean Rescue Team responded to the recovery of a drowning victim. It was near the Harvey Street Shore access, so that's all organized. And then we're wrapping up the fire hazard fuel reduction, and you'll see that there's an item today for final approval to get that done for this past fiscal year. The finance manager, his report, no disbursements in June, over $100,000. The LAIF balance as of June 30th was $4.3 million. This balance is unchanged from May 31st, doesn't include any interest. And we did make a note that this same time last year, the LAIF balance was about $100,000 more. So we're literally about $100,000 less than we were at this time, same time last year. And that's all I have report today under manager's reports.
Any questions question. To the general manager? Go ahead.
I have a question. General Manager Rudick, one of the problems I have since I've been on the board is the minutes. The minutes are sand for eyes, and I understand we want to streamline them, but there's a great deal of information from the public, but very little that comes from the board. From my notes, correct me if I'm wrong, that the president requested that we look at proposals for both Incon and Davidson Associates as to their review or their internal audit. And secondly, we were going to get a monthly report from the federal advocate. I think both of these things are very important, and I just would like your response. Did we miss something? Did I make a note that wasn't there? But it wasn't in the minutes, so I couldn't go back to the minutes.
My notes with regard to, well, the federal advocate will provide a monthly report, but he just started July 1st, so next month we'll have a monthly report for July.
Okay.
And then with regard to the Davidson Associates and Innovative Concepts, I understood that that would be handled at the Finance Committee. I believe that was the direction, and that we would discuss that because you guys got direction about what level of detail we would get into with regard to their discussion.
So you would want us to request
or at another meeting, yeah. I know that Mr. Okay. Clift was on vacation, so as soon as I get back from vacation, we can certainly coordinate scheduling to get that accomplished.
All right.
Could I, any other questions? Director Chalta?
Just a positive thing. The LAIF balance is up 100,000. It's not down.
It's down. It was 4.4 million last year. It's 4.3 million this year.
Okay.
So it's down 100,000. But that's still significant because that's not a whole lot of money.
Still $100,000.
Yeah. Well, but when you look at prior years and all the money that was going out for capital improvements, pay as you go.
Okay. Any other questions of the general manager?
Yes.
Yes. Director D'Amico.
Well, one maybe because again, I appreciate Director McKinnon's comments. We don't want to fill the minutes to be as big as the board packet. So you indicated, and rightly so, we wanted to constrain costs on capital projects because we don't have capital monies. But here it also, I think it's important for the public to know so that there's not any expectations that. And the statement reads, recent efforts to obtain federal stimulus funds through the state's SRF fund were not successful. It was also learned from California Public Health that even the safe drinking water, the revolving fund for that, is either San Luis or shut them off. All we got to do is pay more, $5,000 more or $3,000 more. If it's 30 or 50, yeah, we can pretty much make that decision. But they should be able to manage their side of the house, meaning how much it's going to cost them to complete the work to a certain extent, with the acknowledgement that obviously if we have to go back to Coastal Commission or to some agency nine times, it's going to be more expensive. But to do their level of work that they believe would give us an EIR document that we could go to the proper agencies and get a satisfactory decision should be, I think, yeah. Bob should be able to talk with them and get that.
And the design work as well as the environmental document.
Right. Oh, and maybe how much to finish. They can be two separate, and I get both of them and see what it will cost to complete. Many times you do want to finish it because, I mean, I've been in the business. Once they take the engineers who have been on it off, and a year from now or 6 months from now we get them back, they got somebody who's going to go and reread the entire background to get started again. So I don't want to waste time and monies by – inadvertently stopping too soon.
Also, these two projects are critical public safety projects. completion of these two projects is necessary in order to solve the fire flow water storage problem. There's a direct link between these two projects and the ability of the fire department to put out fires. So I think we ought to step this up a notch. As Director D'Amico suggests, let's figure out what RBF needs to complete, and if it's a reasonable amount that we can afford, then maybe the board might want to authorize proceeding. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. That's it? Okay. All right. Any other questions of the general manager? Apparently not. So we'll move on to member and committee reports. And I know that Directors D'Amico and Clift both want to take some time and address some of the fiscal issues facing the state and how they impact us. So which one of the two of you would like to begin? Director Clift.
Yeah. As we talked about the budget last time, we talked about the fact that there might be a 800-pound gorilla in the room called the state of California. Right now, the Assembly is meeting and the Senate is meeting, and they're saying sometime after 5 tonight or tomorrow, they may have some kind of a budget. I've put together what the draft floor report, which is the report that goes to the
thank you.
Members on the floor of the Assembly. And this is only, it's a 28-page report, but it's just the one page that affects us. And under it is one of the proposals is the suspension of Proposition 1A, which then allows the taking or the borrowing, excuse me, of monies from local governments. And they're talking about 1.935. This one seems to be the one that, even though cities and counties are arguing, is not getting any ear at all in the Assembly. Oil drilling and prison release, it seems to get a lot of attention, but this one is one that probably looks like we're going to have the state borrow our money. We discussed at the Finance Committee informal meeting this morning some options and some things we were thinking about, and we wanted direction from you folks. It's on the second page there. And one of the things that we believed was that the water and wastewater departments, the people voted particular rate increases. Those departments are fiscally sound. They're set up on as enterprise funds, and since they don't receive any tax funds, we did not believe that any monies, if we have to make adjustments in our budget, should come from either of those funds. And so, in fact, the general fund would have to bear all of the expenses if we found ourselves in a property tax borrowing. Based on past information, it's between $155,000 and $160,000 that we would be looking at. The staff has done a good job in all of this budget negotiations regarding expenses. And I doubt that there is, I personally doubt that there's $155,000 worth of expenses that can be reduced. Now, what that brings down is salary and benefits. We've discussed some ways, but we do believe that it's probably falls upon the general manager to make the recommendations as to what should be done. And I guess we just wanted your input. So as we go into finance committee meetings that we would like to hold within the next couple of weeks, so that we can have an item for decision making on the next budget, on the next agenda, if in fact today or tomorrow the state does complete this situation. So although we understand no decision can be made today and no decision needs to be made today, we would appreciate input on your ideas.
Director D'Amico.
Well, let me just add from our meeting. We also had as a prerequisite that the reserve fund of $4 million would not be touched. And we made that early in January, and I still think it holds the case, particularly when we're going to use a million of it before we even get any funds from the state. So that being said, before this, in fact, happened, I'm of the opinion we need a great deal more in the form of review, and I think there's opportunity.
In fact, I think that bankruptcy for the state looms as a very distinct possibility. I appreciate what the legislature's done. There's obviously some constraints that have been enacted into law through the initiative process and by other means. There's some provisions in the state constitution which make the state budget process very unwieldy. All of those forces are at play, and it's forced the legislature to largely use smoke and mirror techniques in order to balance the state budget. There are some accounting adjustments that have been made. A lot of what we see in the form of an allegedly balanced budget is nothing more than accounting tricks, if you will. So given the very, very substantial amount of money that will be taken from local government, I just don't see how any local agency can rely on the money being repaid within 3 years. And so I don't think we can treat it as a loan. I think we need to treat it as money that we'll never see again. Director D'Amico.
Similar to what I think you said is as the evidence became more clear, I've been trying to look and get a handle on the issue of what does it mean for us in the short term, but also the long term. So if you could put up number three, please. I made up three sheets just to keep me on point because I tend to ramble sometimes.
No, PowerPoints are good. Yeah. I like it.
It's not quite quality PowerPoint. It was done late last night.
We'll forgive you for that.
And we're out of. It's not up. Oh, there it is. Okay. This was going to be my last slide, but I think your lead-in was perfect. This is not a short-term event. We've heard about recessions. This is going to be some new thing that's not a recession, maybe not a depression. Controller John Chang, he has a wonderful website. I think if people really want to cut through and forget about the assembly and go to the budget issues, the Controller, his July 2009 summary analysis, the fiscal year 2008-09, where we're in now, compared to 2007-08, last year, which was not a super year either, revenue receipts were down $11 billion, down 11.6%. Personal income taxes were down 20.3%. Retail sales taxes are down 11.7%. And it's going to be interesting because the state is going to have to react to it, and they're laying off thousands and thousands of people, which means personal income taxes are going to go down, retail sales taxes are going to go down. And Meredith Whitney, who's a very highly regarded bank analyst, financial analyst, who predicted the bank debacle, if you will, or at least tracked it pretty well, she was on the other morning on CNBC, and she predicts 13% unemployment. Now, we're at, and she's talking national, and we're at 11.5 here. We're leading the country on the worst thing you could lead on, which is unemployment. So much to Director Sanders, President Sanders, a worker from the HAL, had been 20 years in Caltrans, and he was quite dismayed also. State and local government employees get paid right now an average of 33% higher than the private sector workers. That's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, our own government numbers. If you throw in pensions and other benefit, the gap widens to 42%. What's happened has been, without any regard or any inference of what was planned, what was unplanned, what we have become is public servants are now being served by the public. Our taxes and our efforts to work in the free market economy is supporting agencies and staffs of state of California, 358,000 people, who are paid well above a third more than anybody in normal practice and working. Next slide. Now, we do have to look at what's here, because these are national. Oh, this didn't. Okay. But I'll just run down. It's right now, I took a look at the contract, which is Local 620. Pay increases are going to be 4% each July in 2009, 10, and 11. Longevity increases at 10 years are plus 5% when they hit the 10th year. 15th year, you get an extra 2.5%, and in 20th year, 2.5%. By the way, this is my reading. I expect that Alan can look at it and appreciate the general manager maybe at the next meeting. If there's any corrections, I'd be glad to see that. Vacations, 1 to 5 years is 2 weeks, 6 to 10 is 3, 11 to 15, 4, and greater than 16 years, 5 weeks. These are great benefits. I appreciate it. Healthcare, we pay 95% of premiums in PERS Choice and dental for staff and family and retirees. We also give $1,300 healthcare reimbursement January 1st each year, I believe. Now, I contribute personally to an HSA, which is my pre-tax money, so you save on the tax. My company, which is one of the largest engineering companies in the world, they don't give me that. They say that's your job to put that money in to capture your deductibles. And the interesting is that, and this came out of the audit that we just received 2 months ago, that CalPERS pension, and it's a quote, PERS participants are required to contribute 7% of their annual covered salary for miscellaneous members, I mean, and 9% for safety. So firemen that we have would normally give 9, and all other workers would give 7. The CCSD makes the contributions required of CCSD employees on their behalf and for their account. My reading of that means we're paying that amount. So that means, and then what I did is I looked, and this is something just so, it's hard to judge what the cost of a person and work is to an entity like the Community Services District. And the best thing I saw, and I remember seeing it, I thought it was in this, it might have been in the draft report, but they put in, think of it that every $80,000, if you hire somebody for, and it costs you $80,000 a year, that would be like burdening your cost of employees. And again, I just picked things out of the report, and I may be off on a couple hundred thousand, but I think you'll get the gist of it. Salaries and wages, I believe, for all entity, and I don't know if general manager, it's about $2,400,000. When you add payroll taxes and benefits, is about $1,580,000, which means, and I use 34 employees, we may have a different number, and obviously if it's down, then the unit cost goes up. You're running at about $117,500. It's called the all-in cost, the life cycle cost. It's something that we don't normally look at. Now, I also looked at, if you go to the census data, San Luis Obispo County, this includes Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo, which, and you know, obviously Cambria and Cayucas and Morro Bay, where you've got, and we know they're usually paid more, doctors, lawyers, and accountants and
engineers.
And engineers, yes, thank God. The mean average wage is $41,140. If you assume, which I have to believe and I know, we don't have a 1.66% benefits in taxes and benefits, but if you did that, the all-in average cost of employees is about $68,000 per worker countywide. Well, if you look at that, and if it costs us, whether it's 117 or 110 or 100,000, it costs us in this location here approximately 35-40% more than the average over in the total county. I wanted to do something else. I said, you know, what does it cost? The cost of the CCSD to the Cambrians. And again, I like to look for something that I can get my mind around. If the annual expenses of operating the entire CCSD, and I think it's around $7,725,000, based on our last count when we had the 218, it's about 4,500 customers, because those are the people who voted or didn't vote. At $1,720 a year per household, per business, about $145 a month. And for that, you get your water, you get your sewer, you get your parks, and all the other things we do. So on the overall, I'm not that displeased with where we are. But my analysis is we should be a little better because it's a very costly operation. Now, I have said it prior, and I'll say it again. We have contracts. We have to live with contracts unless the other contractee, the person who's party to the contract, is willing to discuss issues about dropping our costs. Because right now, the only option that anyone else, please correct, at least from my reading of it, my opinion is, the only option we have is layoffs. The only way to cut our costs is layoffs. I have a whole packet of, and I think everybody reads our newspapers in throughout the county, Atascadero, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo. There are people and agencies working with their unions who are stepping up to the plate and say, well, maybe it is more short-term than you worried. Is it $4,700,000? So you really don't have a lot of money. So don't mistake what's cash in the bank against your net assets and equity in the enterprise, so to speak. And I thought that would be my contribution to the finance committee to use when you as you go through and maybe follow up with any thoughts you might have with the general manager and what we do in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Director D'Amico, for your input. Any questions?
Could I just get frank because I can't read it too well?
Yeah.
Is that $117,000 per employee?
Yes.
And when you looked at a
certain... But I'm willing to have it adjusted, but I don't think you can get too far away from the 100
yeah.
or better.
Yeah. And then the one when you went to the SLO County General was 60. Was that with benefits?
Well, it's 41,140, which is the average annual salary in San. I mean, there's a table, and they take the average on the top. You could start cherry picking through and find the highest, but I said, look, let's just take the average. People know what's the makeup of the county, and if the makeup of the county says everybody who's got a job right now in every field, including utilities and agencies, they're all included in that. Our overall cost is 68. We're a little higher than we should be.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
My only response would be, and I appreciate the analysis, as a percentage of our workforce, I think we're top-heavy in professional and licensed employees, firefighters, water and sewer employees. So unlike some of the larger organizations, like the county government, the city of Paso Robles, the city of San Luis Obispo, we have far fewer as a percentage of our workforce employees who make more minimal amounts of money. So that may skew the figure somewhat, but I'm not arguing with the premise. I understand the premise.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, I had water companies that were small. You pay a general manager what a general manager is supposed to get,
right.
And all of a sudden the unit cost in Warwick, Rhode Island says, why are you spending so much up there?
Right.
And that's what happened. It does skew it. Yes, definitely.
Exactly.
Director D'Amico, on the $80,000 and then the $1 million loan at 5%, that's for 20 years? 30 years. Okay.
30 years. Well,
okay.
a lot of workers
yeah.
stay and, for 30
and
years.
Would, yeah, and it
and
would
they
probably
end up with
get
100% pension from the state CalPERS.
Yes. It may become more egregious as time would go on. Your statistic may be even worse as time goes on with the salaries and the increases, so forth. But I guess it brings back kind of reminiscent of the steel industry in the 80s and the big three in Detroit so recently, that this is the same kind of scenarios, that the costs just overwhelm the operations, and they become not profitable and therefore a disaster. So we do have work to do, and I think we have to step up to it.
But I will say, I mean, for the public and for our general manager and our own staff, there are ways of overcoming this. And,
of course.
And, one of the things that occurred, and it happens to be, I know it occurred in another city in actually down in Santa Barbara County, and I did it in
two-tiered system, so there's no reason why we can't. But getting back to the point that Director Clift raised, which is that the Finance Committee needs some direction here. Director Clift, and I assume you participated in this, Director McKinnon.
Yeah.
They've laid out very well here a list of areas where some cuts can be made. Let me suggest that there may be some others as well. For example, I think that as directors, maybe we can cut our stipends even further. I know it's gone from $100 a meeting to $75, but I, for one, would not be adverse to cutting it again. That's not going to save a whole lot of money, but if we're going to start taking a hard look at our employees, I think we need to lead the way. There are the items listed here, there are some additional items, and there are combinations of them that we can put into play here that I think will get us to the $155,000 to $160,000 that we need to cut. My suggestion is to, as a board, inform the Finance Committee that everything is on the table. There are no sacred cows. I think it would be a mistake for us to sit here and try and even prioritize this list. I think working with the general manager, the Finance Committee can come up with a list of proposed cuts that the full board can entertain. And as I say, I don't think there are any sacred cows. I think we ought to go back to the union and lay it out. There are some options here that are maybe more palatable to the employees than others, but at the end of the day, there is probably going to have to be some give on the part of the employees.
I totally agree, and I think we set policy. We don't dictate to the general manager exactly what has to be done. And I think there's a myriad of opportunities, like you suggest, that we have to look at. And I think we'd be, with it coming out of the general fund, and we know roughly the number, $155,000 to $160,000, we're ready when the general manager calls to sit down and listen to their proposals of how to do it. And as long as we have the direction of the board to look at everything on the table, I think that's appropriate.
My only personal comment is that we do have, I think, a very, very high fiduciary obligation to the citizens of this community, the citizens and the property owners, to maintain the level of public safety service through our fire department as high as we can possibly maintain it. And
money goes lower, we're going to have to do whatever we have. And I guess that's why all I'm saying is that there's an issue between, and unions do it, and people I've heard say, well, you just bump down and you get rid of the lower guy. I don't know. If you do that, you may have gotten rid of the best guy in the group. But so if it's a shared responsibility, and everyone loves to talk about shared responsibility, it can be done. Many agencies and unions and companies are doing that now. So, but I don't want to misinform, at least from my perspective, my opinion, that emergency services are so sacrosanct that
no.
we're willing to have other people in the in our community laid off because they didn't take a hit.
Yeah.
And
nothing
I'm sorry to say, it's not the actually the fire, but you know it's the police and the sheriffs and the county are the ones who played hardball, and there are other people in the county who are now suffering from that.
Yeah.
So shared responsibility means shared.
Yeah, I agree.
I have one question. General Manager, the employees of the water and wastewater, are they also under 620?
Yes.
And you know, and that's an issue there too, in terms when you start talking about shared responsibility things, because we still have a duty that water and wastewater are separate.
Correct.
And water and wastewater monies can't be used to backfill taxes.
Right.
So even if there was a shared responsibility across the whole group, any savings that came out of water and wastewater would have to go into water and wastewater reserves.
Right.
And I think that's an understanding that we need to have, too, because we have a legal obligation to keep those terms separate.
Okay. Absolutely.
And we also have employees who are paid both by the general and also by the water and wastewater. So
right. There is some. It's not an easy thing when you talk about shared responsibilities, but it's a doable thing if people want to do it. If not, then
I think that Director McKinnon mentioned the General Motors thing. I don't think we're dealing with a large number of semi-skilled people, though. We are dealing with people there. Each one is skilled.
Let's look at that. Education, experience, span of control, impact on finance. The skill levels are there, but they're not inordinate. And they are not totally different than a lathe operator or a machine operator in General Motors or Chrysler. So I disagree somewhat in that.
There's one other thing, too. In this morning's Tribune, it gave some solutions that are being applied by Paso Robles, Atascadero, and other cities, and that solution seems to be this is a short-term thing and just dip into reserves. And I think that based on what President Sanders said, and I totally agree that this is this year's promise. Next year's promise will be different.
One, have no confidence that the so-called borrowing of local government general fund monies will ever be paid back. So I think we have to assume that this money is gone for good. Finance Committee, do you have a sufficient amount of input? Director McKinnon?
Going to be busy.
It sounds like it. Yeah, and thank you for carrying a heavy burden by doing all the work you're doing. Okay, any other board committee reports? If not, we'll move on to the consent agenda. And we have three items that are pulled, items 7A, 7G, and 7H. We'll begin with separate consideration of item 7A, Director McKinnon.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but one of the things we talked about in January, no surprises. The other one that I felt was very important is to manage our operations by exception, meaning that when we see our council, where we're now triple the retainer rate of $6,600 a month, that there should be some explanation. Is this a one-time event? Because it's not a one-time event. 2 months ago, I think it was about 14. So that's an exception that should be addressed. And all these things would be very helpful to me, and I think the other board members, if the excesses, whether it be plus or minus, I guess, would be addressed by the general manager. Davis and Associates, Innovation Concepts, instead of 4,200 a month, we're now at 6,000. What's the reason for that? So I just wanted to bring up the fact that we have a monthly report, and I think it's crucial that we understand any differences to plan. Does that make sense, General Manager?
Yes.
Okay.
If that's the board's direction.
It's satisfactory to me.
Well, I assume that we're discussing overages on the budget.
Overages, even, well, we have this report, yeah. And either we don't have it at all, and I'm used to exactly what you said compared to the budget. But we have this report. This is what I saw when I came in on January, and it's an important report. And if there's significant exceptions, and there are in this month, this past month, please explain them. I just need an explanation so that we know.
And we had hoped that that's how the quarterly report process would do. Monthly, it's going to be a task. So I just need to have the board's direction
ever so briefly,
that we do it. Well, it can't be done within this report because this is generated out of an electronic system. So it will be a separate report. So
you really don't have a feel for why legal is so much more than their normal retainer, that you couldn't just have a sentence or so that this is an exception and here's the reason why, and similar with some of the others that are so excessive.
Yeah, I understand the utility of this report as a practical matter. It's not terribly valuable to me. It is in the sense that we can track expenditures from month to month, and we can identify anomalies, and if there's a real problem, we can address it sooner rather than later. The problem with the report, though, is that it lists the expenditures by vendor in alphabetical order without relationship to the budget. So mm-hmm. If you were to make this into a completely valuable tool, in my view, the report would be arranged such that each of the vendors would be grouped together, and you could identify what part of the budget is being impacted and how we're doing month to month in terms of the total expenditures from each budget category. That would probably require
more
overhaul
effort.
of the system.
And more effort. And we were told by the general manager that would be more of a problem. But that's really what we're looking at, exceptions to the plan, exceptions to the budget plan.
Right.
And we can't get that from here other than the Finance Committee does have a feel for some of these categories, and it becomes the same hits that have occurred. And they are quite excessive.
Yeah. Can I suggest that I think we know now, having had discussions regarding this report several times here at the board meetings, that perhaps the Finance Committee can come up with a percentage. And if we're looking at an increase of X number of percent over what we've historically seen in this report, then that should trigger some sort of a review by the general manager and a brief explanation as to why we're going where we're going with these expenditures. Legal expenses, for example, there are some explanations for why they are higher, and they're higher by a significant percentage. Perhaps out on the right-hand margin there could be a very brief, just a few words explaining why the expenditures are going up.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I would rather not see this report, and I would rather have, as was stated, how does it apply, how is it compared to the budget? But I think that's too much at the present time with General Manager's input. This is the only thing we have, And
month to month it is.
Month to month it has.
Now we do get we get a quarterly recap, and that's our opportunity and the community's opportunity to compare the expenditures to date versus the budgeted amount. And so we can see, at least on a quarterly basis, whether we're adhering to our budget, and if we're not, hard questions have to be asked as to why, and perhaps adjustments made. So if, Director McKinnon, if quarterly is often enough for you, we have that tool. But I, for one, while I say this report could have more value, it does have some value. And I think the community appreciates seeing this so that they know where the money's going and they have an opportunity to ask questions on a monthly basis.
If I could, one thing, and I think it's been several meetings, there are three items. Two we've focused on, and you're going to be looking at Davidson and
innovation concepts. But
the one that really struck me this month and maybe even last month, and it goes to council here, I mean, I sit in those meetings, and I mean, I'll look at this, and I see apparently there's four different cases going on here. My problem is that I'm not even the general manager. She can, you know, look at it and say, yes, we're over budget, and we've been over budget too. But I think it behooves the council to advise us, is this a trend? he makes that, and he doesn't have to reveal strategies or anything else, but I think if he says to the general manager, she can just make it in her normal report without going into detail. We have multiple suits here, which is evident to the public, which we know about, and that the litigation seems to be continuing, and we might be over for one or two more months. There's got to be some way of giving us a heads up, because, and it's not going to change when you do the 3 month. It's just that, and this goes back to managing the rest of the organization. If we have no control, which we don't have control when people externally and even within our own community sue us, we have to reply and actively respond.
Yeah.
And if we know that, then the issue is not that we're going to stop responding, but then we have to look at our other budget and say something else has got to give now.
We have to make adjustments.
Right. Yeah, and the projection, because we had a 14 and then we had a 16 grand versus a 6.6 grand. Yeah. So what's the projection? So that could blow many facets of our budget by that one account.
I know that that's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
The general manager deals with that almost on a daily basis. And I'm very confident, having sat in many sessions with her when this issue has been raised, particularly as it relates to legal expenses, that she understands why the bills are going up. She understands that other months that they'll be significantly lower because of the nature of litigation, for example. And she's prepared to make adjustments when she perceives the need to do so. So maybe it's more of a communication issue.
I think it is. I'm not challenging the general manager other than communicate. Give us some heads up. Don't give us a surprise and all of a sudden we have our budget blown up. Just tell us in a sentence or two what we're expecting. That's it.
That's reasonable. Director Clift.
I think, first of all, we have to recognize that this document is basically just a document so that we legitimize what has been spent. And that's pure and simply what the document is. It's our saying, yes, money was spent.
Yep.
I would think that it's then a matter of communication, just in the general manager's report, of a sentence or two on things that might say, hey, we had an unusual, just like we asked for over $100,000, maybe we have an unusual situation where, as an example, it might be under $100,000, but a big bill that's an annual bill is paid all at once, and it looks out of whack. Mm-hmm. So I think you can do it in the general manager's report to meet your expectations, and we understand that this is simply us putting a stamp of approval on the checks that have been issued, and maybe use this document as an information document, but not rely on it to really look at budgeting.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's really not a budgeting tool.
Yeah, use the quarterly thing for that.
I have a request to speak on this item from Jerry McKinnon.
Thank you. Jerry McKinnon, Cambria. We were discussing attorney fees. If we look at page 2 in the attorney fees, following the code that is in front of each of the costs, the WD would indicate water department. When I add up the fees charged to the water department, I find that $11,019.94 is being charged as legal fees for the water department.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, and I'm sorry I don't have the budget with me, but there's a line I think that says professional services. What percentage of professional services is left for these litigations charges against the water department? And perhaps we could go through each one of these and find how many dollars of litigation fees are charged against the wastewater to see how it balances against the budget. That's my concern, that the budget is a document that I believe in. It's not just figures on a piece of paper. That's what you plan to spend. So my concern would be, how close are you in expending the dollars that you have set aside for that? So that's just that question.
Just to respond to that question, Jerry, that's why we have the quarterly reports.
Okay.
Which are put on the website.
That's fine, and that's the tortoise and the hare running their race. Every once in a while, you stop and see who's ahead.
Exactly.
But this comes out month by month by month, which would give us accountability as to how that race is going along. Now, when we get to the PG&E on page 7, if we're thinking about cutting costs of the operation of the district, I find that $1,120.57 for 1 month and $1,120.62 for another month for operating the street lights. Now, somewhere along the line, I recall there was a feeling that maybe street lights is going to be an expensive operation. Well, we're looking at over $12,000 a year for PG&E to pay for those lights. Maybe that's something that we could look at to determine whether our policy wants to stay with the street lights and what would happen if we turned them off to save some money. Those are the two things that I see off the top of my head to consider in the finance report. And I would ask, please don't change this. The coding that is in front of each one of these items at least gives us an opportunity to check to find out how things are going.
Thank you. Thank you for your input, Jerry. Any other discussion on item 7A? Is there a motion to approve 7A?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve consent item 7A, which is the list of expenditures for the month of June 2009. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
I need to abstain since there's a bill from the company I work for.
The motion passes 4-0 with Director D'Amico abstaining. We'll move on now to items 7G and H. I ask that these two items be pulled, and I think since they both relate to the same issue, we can discuss them together. These two items involve the rejection of claims that were made by property owners and renters of real property that was damaged when an automobile ran into a fire hydrant and the water cascading from the fire hydrant caused some damage. I don't want to express an opinion on whether or not the district is liable to pay these claims. But I will say that as a matter of process, it's necessary that we first reject the claims and then forward them to our insurance carrier, which is the Special District Risk Management Association. If the SDRMA pays the claims, then that's the end of it. If they reject the claims, then the matter comes back to us to consider what it is we are going to do. Perhaps the district has some liability, and again, I'm not expressing an opinion one way or the other on that. But at that point, we will have to determine whether or not the claims are valid, and then we would have to resort to some sort of a process to adjust the claims. We are not in the claims adjusting business, so we would perhaps have to get some assistance doing that, and Director Clift might be able to point us in the right direction. But I just want to emphasize that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they might be insured by State Farm. I just want to emphasize that simply because items here say that the claims are being rejected does not mean that that's the end of this issue. They may be coming back, and at that time we would have the opportunity to consider them in some depth. Any questions on these items? Is there a motion to approve items 7, G, and H, which are rejection of claims by Barbara Owen and David Moe?
I'll make a motion to approve the rejection of the complaint.
Second.
I have a comment.
Yes, under discussion.
I was just concerned over what we've done to mitigate the extremely long time it took to shut off the water, if you will, at Wilton. Are we doing anything with the truck being taken back to with the employee to home so that he can respond rather than going down to the water district to get the truck and then proceed to the break?
No, and we don't agree that it took an extremely long time. So I want to correct that. The minute Robert Reason got the call, he was here with his personal vehicle to assess the situation. He was in contact and knew what was going on. The issue became having to valve down when you have to isolate valves around the fire hydrant, not on the fire hydrant. That's mm-hmm. a tough job, and this created a little bit of a challenge for him. So not him and his technical ability, just the fact that it was tough. So no, we didn't change our policy, and no take-home vehicles are going home for standby.
No take-home vehicles, so no. It wasn't necessary at all. Well, there's no. a really a bad perception then also in the community as well as myself. So that's good to hear. Uh-huh. So there's no need to have, just want to make that clear, there's no need to have the appropriate truck go back with the person assigned to 24 hour reporting.
The water, Jim Adams, Water System Supervisor and Fire Chief Mark Miller are working with some cross training with regard to fire hydrant shutdown. Now, not valving down requires licensure, water system licensure, which firefighters do not have.
Right.
And so we're going to work, or they're working together to do some cross training to where if it's a fire hydrant incident on the fire hydrant itself, there's no problem. In this particular incident, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. It had to be isolated. So.
Good.
There are no national standards and response issues having to do with something like this. As long as the procedures are followed and there's no negligence in following the procedures, we were not in any deficiency at all. I did not see it. I mean, it's regrettable when you're on the receiving end of a few hundred thousand gallons of water, but. I mean, there are water main breaks and hydrant breaks across the country constantly, and as long as you have a procedure, you have trained personnel, Manager Ruluck points out, you don't want people touching the operation of your system that don't know what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because then you end up with a water hammer, which will blow out a main rather than just a hydrant. It's an issue, and as President Sanders said, there's a procedure that will be followed, and with all due respects, at the end, there'll have to be some, if there needs to be an adjustment, that can be looked at as a grounds of, if you will, compassion and good relations, but not the idea that anything wrong is being done or the policies and procedures are mm-hmm. incorrect.
And the upside is a lot of green grass on Wilton, is that it?
I, no, yeah. I would not. I'm not make, I wouldn't make light of it, not that one at least.
No. I have a submission of a comment from Mihaela Burton, and it looks like it's a written comment, or did you want to speak?
I changed it to oral.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Mihaela Burton, Cambria. Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to speak. It is my opinion that fire hydrants under 218, Proposition 218, belong in the fire department. If the fire hydrants were shifted over out of our water rates to the fire department, then under an emergency when we have 24/7 fire personnel, they could then be trained to turn off the fire hydrants. End of problem. Thank you.
Madam General Manager, would you like to explain again the problem?
I just
that?
Explained that there will be cross-training, and quite frankly, the firefighting personnel are qualified to valve at the hydrant itself. It's when you have to reach out to the system within the blocks, look in the road, you'll see the valves, and you're actually dropping a sheath down in the pipe to shut off water. As Director D'Amico said, that not only requires somebody who knows what they're doing and knows the system so that you don't create jackhammers in the system that explodes the line up the line and causes more damage to houses, you know, on the upper end. But you also have to have, you have to be licensed. You have to be a licensed water system operator so you know what you're doing. Again, our process is that the firefighters are able and through the cross training will be able to cut it off at the fire hydrant. It doesn't matter which department the hydrant's in, they're all knowledgeable. Right. But it's when you start valving outside of the hydrant itself that it becomes problematical for firefighters.
Okay, any other discussion on items 7, G, and H?
I was just going to ask for a matter of public input information, if mine is typically in something like this, how many valves do we have to shut down? I realize it depends on the location.
Yeah, it does depend on the location. Peter, and I'm sorry, I didn't get from Jim. I didn't realize it would be discussed at technical detail about how many actually had to be valved down.
I wonder if Frank had an
idea. Yeah, I mean, if you're in an ideal situation, it'll be two beyond the valve at the hydrant, because you can go on either side. If the hydrant is in an area that's got an intersection, usually they'll have four valves there. So you got three from the other side and the one on the other. So you could go up to four, especially in our mains. Bigger, I mean, again, the systems are different. Larger systems with higher operating pressures, you may drop down back a couple of valves because you don't want to try to drop a valve. Although these are gate valves, you don't want to drop a valve and cause a water hammer and split a pipe somewhere, which has been done often.
Yeah.
Because people panic.
And
I appreciate that. You know, you're trying to save a lot owner, a house, or whatever, and then instead you lose your distribution system. Which
wind up doing more damage than what you've got.
Right.
Any other questions or discussion on this item? We have a motion and a second to approve items 7, G, and H. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The general manager will read the balance of the consent calendar.
7B is to consider approval of the minutes of the Board of Directors meeting June 25th, 2009. 7C is to consider adoption of Ordinance 01-2009, repealing and replacing the CCSD Code Section 3.04.020. 7D is to schedule public hearing to consider approval of the appropriations limit for fiscal year 2009-2010. And 7E is to consider revisions to the 2009 Board Committee/assignments. And finally, 7F is to consider adoption of Resolution 31-2009, selecting candidates to serve as directors on the Special District Risk Management Authority Board of Directors.
Is there a motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar as read?
So move.
Is there a second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the balance of the consent calendar as read. All those in favor say aye.
Discussion?
Oh, yes.
I didn't want to bring it up. I know we didn't formally do it, but we did set up the Water Emergency Alternatives Committee.
Yes.
Which Peter and I, I guess we call them members or advisors. It's not on the list, I don't believe. Should it be on the list?
Because of its short-term nature.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's. I mean, you didn't give me that direction. The board president gave me the direction for the staff report. Fine. But because that's a single sole purpose committee,
right. Yeah.
Maybe not going to be ongoing.
Okay, well, we'll see as things develop.
Okay.
And I'll make the a quick I know our August meeting got moved up a little bit, and I know that committee is going to meet August 20th, which is fine. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind, or would you entertain penciling in maybe in September to allow them to make a presentation?
Absolutely.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah.
Will you?
We'll talk.
We'll make sure it's on the agenda, Director D'Amico. All right. We'll call for the vote on the balance of the consent calendar as moved and seconded, with the note that Director Clift is abstaining from voting on item 7F. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to item number 8 on the agenda, which is hearings and appeals. And the only item under item 8 is to conduct a public hearing on parcels subject to clearing under the CCSD's fire hazard fuel reduction contract. Madam General Manager.
Thank you. This is the annual part and actually almost conclusion, but this is the process where we provide the itemized list by parcel number of those parcels that will be sent or that are being sent to the contractor, but also that are going to have to be part of the formal process that goes to the county tax assessor for assessment on the tax rolls. For the fiscal impact, 94 parcels were fuel reduced this contract year, and a few of those were large parcels, extremely overgrown. The CCSD's contractor's cost for performing all of this work was $34,707. And this amount does not include our admin fee, because you can see that in the second column, which boots it up to $38,120. So this is the itemized roll. We're asking today that you conduct a public hearing and receive any community testimony or input, and then approve Resolution 30-2009 that confirms this report and then further provides direction to the staff to get it sent to the tax collector for the County of San Luis Obispo.
Any questions of the General Manager?
I was just going to ask if you'd like to reiterate the actual procedure we go through for the lot owners so they're not caught unawares.
For noticing them,
yeah,
and allowing them the deadline.
Right.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to do this from memory, but June 16th or 17th was the deadline for everyone to have theirs. So the notices were sent sometime in May. I don't remember the exact date, 14th, 10th. Sorry, Director Shaldicott, but they were sent in May, all the lot owners who were expected to have their lots cleared, and then they had to comply by that June 16th, 17th date, and if they didn't, then the contractor and our staff go out and they're evaluated with regard to and cleared, and then people are placed on this roll, and the way that the CCSD gets their reimbursement for having to pay the contractor to do this is by this being submitted to the County of San Luis Obispo to be placed on the tax rolls.
That's fine. Thank you.
And that process was explained in the notice.
Any other questions of the General Manager? If not, the public hearing is open. Is there anybody that would like to address the board on Resolution 30-2009?
And while people are approaching you, I'm sorry for the sound. Staff is doing a wonderful job trying to find it. We appreciate the fire department trying to help us and AGP video. And
understood.
We're just learning to live with the little gremlin that has decided to occupy the vet's hall.
So. Right. Apparently, nobody wishes to testify on this matter, so the public hearing is closed. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 30-2009?
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution 30-2009. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I would like to note that the 38120 administrative fee is below the 42,000 budgeted within the fire department's budget.
And it will correspond with the contractor's cost. So while we projected that the expense would be higher, those are wash items.
So we'll wash out, okay.
Correct.
All right.
Good. There is no regular business on the agenda for this meeting. That brings us to item number 10, which is the second public comment period. I have no request to speak. Is there anybody in the audience here who would like to address the board on any item that is not on the agenda? Seeing no one, the public comment period is closed. Any other business board members would like to bring before the board? Apparently not. We are adjourned to closed session.